Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're taking a closer look at Elevance Health, ticker ELV, a company at a truly critical juncture within the U.S. healthcare system. We've pulled together a pretty comprehensive stack of surveys for this one, everything from, detailed investment research to core company filings. Our mission here is really to cut through all that noise, pull out the most important insights, and help you grasp the fundamental debate that's swirling around this massive healthcare giant right now. It's a complex scenario, definitely a real crossroads for the company.
Yeah, and what's particularly compelling here is how Elevance Health, despite its really formidable market position and just sheer scale, is currently navigating some pretty significant industry-wide headwinds. This has created a truly dichotomous situation, a clear split in opinion for investors and, frankly, anyone trying to understand the evolving landscape of managed care.
That's the heart of it, isn't it? On one side, you've got this immense structural strength, right? Built up over decades. And then on the other, you have this intense, pervasive pressure on profitability. It really is a tug of war. And our goal today is to meticulously unpack both sides of that story for you. So, okay, to begin, let's just establish the foundation. What exactly is Elevance Health? We're talking about a true titan in the U.S. managed care industry, a company that, touches millions of lives every single day.
Right. It's really important to understand just how foundational Elevance Health is to the U.S. healthcare system. Formerly known as Anthem, many might remember that name, it stands as one of the largest health insurers in the United States. Its formidable market position isn't just about size, though. It's built on, like you said, immense scale and a powerful portfolio of deeply trusted brands. The cornerstone of their strength, and you could argue their most significant competitive asset, really lies in their exclusive Blue Cross Blue Shield or BCBS licenses. They hold these licenses in 14 states, which grants them a level of brand recognition and consumer trust that is just incredibly difficult for any competitor to replicate or even challenge. This isn't just a slight edge. It's a structural barrier to entry for others in those key states.
Okay, so their brand and that huge footprint give them significant leverage, but it sounds like they've also been pretty aggressively expanding beyond just traditional insurance. What's been their most impactful move into maybe other areas of healthcare, and why is that so critical for their strategy today?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And that's where Carelon really comes into play. Beyond their core health benefits segment, they've strategically developed and are rapidly expanding a high-margin health services division called Carelon. And this isn't just some side project. It's a crucial piece of their long-term strategic puzzle. This integrated model, which, encompasses both their traditional insurance offerings and a growing suite of direct services, currently serves over 109 million consumers across a whole range of solutions. Think of it as a powerful ecosystem designed for both sustained growth and, importantly, more effective synergistic management of healthcare costs. This pivot into services is absolutely central to how they intend to navigate these current choppy waters.
You mentioned those choppy waters. It seems that despite this really formidable structural strength and that strategic evolution, their profitability is under some intense pressure right now. Can you maybe pinpoint the single biggest factor driving that pressure and what makes it so persistent?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The most acute pressure point, and really the crux of the current investment debate, stems from elevated medical cost trends, particularly within their government-sponsored business lines. So we're talking specifically about their Medicaid and Affordable Care Act or ACA marketplace plans. And these challenges haven't been minor. They were significant enough to compel the company to issue a pretty material downward revision of its full year 2025 earnings guidance. And, that kind of revision hit stock performance hard and has really solidified the central investment debate we're here to unpack today. It tells you that these are not just minor fluctuations. These are serious pressures.
Okay, so if you're an investor or maybe just someone trying to get a handle on the situation at Elevance, the market's perspective is clearly split. We have these two very distinct narratives.
Yeah.
The bull case, the optimists, and the bear case, the pessimists. Let's start with the bulls. What's their core argument? Why do they think Elevance is still a compelling story despite these headwinds?
Right. The bull case fundamentally argues that Elevance Health's current market valuation represents, a significant overreaction to what they believe are near-term and crucially manageable headwinds. From their perspective, investors are, overly fixated on the current margin compression in the health benefits segment and are fundamentally underappreciating Elevance's durable long-term earnings power. They see a company whose core profitability is, yes, temporarily challenged, but whose underlying strategic assets remain incredibly strong. and a critical piece of this bull argument centers squarely on Carelon, their health services platform. Proponents believe its substantial growth trajectory and, frankly, immense value creation potential are being significantly undervalued by the market right now. They view Carelon not just as like an add-on, but as a high-growth, high-margin engine that will eventually re-rate the entire enterprise's valuation. Beyond that, the bulls highlight the company's disciplined capital allocation strategy. This includes aggressive share repurchases, which is a direct way to reduce the number of outstanding shares and boost earnings per share, and a consistently growing dividend, which signals management confidence and directly rewards shareholders. You add to this an already strong investment-grade balance sheet and strategic investments in technology and value-based care, and the bulls are convinced Elevance is exceptionally well-positioned for a powerful earnings recovery. Their expectation, basically, is that Elevance will deliver on its long-term target of double-digit adjusted EPS growth, making the current stock price, in their view, a compelling value proposition.
Okay. That sounds like a pretty clear path to recovery. But, you know, as always, there's another side to the story. What are the bears saying? What's the counter-argument that paints a more cautious, maybe even pessimistic, outlook?
Well, the bear case presents a much more skeptical view, as you'd expect. They argue that the recent downward earnings revision isn't just a transient issue that's going to blow over quickly. Instead, they view it as maybe a harbinger of structural degradation in the risk profile of government-sponsored health plans. It's a sign of deeper issues. From this perspective, persistently high medical cost inflation, particularly coming from these government programs, will continue to compress margins for the foreseeable future, making current profitability issues more of a long-term feature than just, you know, a temporary bug. A significant concern for the bears is the significant and ongoing lag in Medicaid rate adjustments by state partners. This means states aren't quickly adjusting the premiums paid to insurers to accurately reflect the rising medical costs for this increasingly sicker population that's remaining after redetermination. They also point to a heightened regulatory environment, which could further restrict pricing power or maybe impose new costs on managed care organizations. So for the bears, the path to restoring historical profitability levels for Elevance's core insurance business is viewed as highly uncertain and, frankly, fraught with execution risk. Moreover, there's a worry that even Carelon's impressive growth, while, yes, it's notable, may not be enough to fully offset the sheer magnitude of profitability challenges within the much larger health benefits segment. This could ultimately lead to a prolonged period of stagnant or even declining earnings for the overall company, making the current valuation, in their view, reflective of these deeper, more structural issues.
It truly is a fascinating, you know, dichotomous situation, a real tug of war for the company's future direction. Our core goal with this deep dive, then, is really to systematically dissect these opposing theses, helping you, our listener, assess the probabilities associated with each scenario with, hopefully, greater clarity.
Indeed. And to truly cut through these competing narratives and get to the data-driven insights, it's really essential to first understand the broader forces at play. Because, you know, Elevance doesn't operate in a vacuum.
That's a great point. Let's zoom out a bit then. What are those big sector-wide forces that are hitting companies like Elevance right now? What's making those waters so turbulent for everyone in managed care?
Well, the managed care sector is currently battling broad inflationary pressures, much like the rest of the economy. But for healthcare, it's not just higher G&A expenses. It's crucially about escalating medical costs. Healthcare providers, you know, from large hospital systems down to local doctor's offices, are facing severe labor shortages, which are driving up wages significantly. They're also grappling with rising input costs for medical supplies, pharmaceuticals, technology, you name it. These higher costs are inevitably passed on to payers like Elevance Health through demands for higher reimbursement rates, directly impacting their cost structure. And at the same time, we're observing a significant normalization of healthcare utilization following the, you know, the profound disruptions of the COVID-19 pandemic. While it's true that some high-cost procedures were still maybe slightly below pre-pandemic levels in 2023, the overall trend is a clear and persistent rebound as patients increasingly seek care they might have deferred during the height of the pandemic. This creates a particularly challenging scenario for managed care organizations. They're facing both a higher volume of claims and a higher cost per claim. This dual pressure exerts direct and significant upward pressure on what's known as the medical loss ratio, or MLR.
Right, the MLR. And for our listeners, that's a really critical number for managed care organizations, isn't it? Can you just remind us briefly why it's so important?
Oh, absolutely. The MLR is arguably the single most critical determinant of profitability for a managed care organization. It represents the percentage of premium revenue that a company spends directly on clinical services and care for its members. So basically, a higher MLR means a smaller percentage of the premium revenue is left over for administrative costs and, crucially, for profit. When both the volume of services and the cost per claim increase simultaneously, the MLR inevitably rises, directly squeezing profitability and making it harder for these companies to hit their financial targets. It's the primary indicator of how well they're managing their core medical expenses against the premiums they collect.
Got it. Okay, so beyond general inflation, let's talk about Medicare Advantage, or MA. We often hear about the demographic tailwind there, you know, with the aging U.S. population. This must be a huge long-term growth area for insurers like Elevance, right?
It undeniably is, especially when you look at it from a long-term strategic perspective. Medicare Advantage enrollment has been growing at a remarkable pace, something like 9% annually from 2019 to 2023. And projections from various sources suggest this trend is going to continue, with MA increasing from maybe 54% of the eligible Medicare population this year to a projected 64% by 2034. That's a significant demographic shift, representing a massive and expanding market that managed care companies are aggressively competing to capture. It's a fundamental demographic tailwind that's going to persist for decades. However, despite the very attractive growth profile, the MA market is currently facing some serious profitability headwinds. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, or CMS, has implemented pretty constrained rate increases, which limits how much revenue MA plans can generate from premiums. Often these fall short of what insurers believe is needed to cover rising costs. Then you've got the Inflation Reduction Act, or IRA, which introduces significant new costs for payers. For example, there's that new $2,000 annual cap on out-of-pocket prescription drug costs for beneficiaries, and adult vaccines are now covered without cost sharing. These are direct hits to the plan's bottom line. And on top of all that, we're seeing ongoing regulatory adjustments that add further pressure. Changes to risk adjustment models, which dictate how much plans get paid based on the health status of their members, and modifications to the star rating system, which determines quality bonus payments, have added further revenue pressure and complexity. The cumulative effect of all these pressures led to a sharp drop in MA margins, estimated to be as low as maybe 1% to 1.5% in 2024 for the industry as a whole. The industry is responding, though. We're seeing a shift from a growth-at-all-costs mindset to a more disciplined focus on profitable growth. That means optimizing plan benefits, maybe being more selective about offerings, and even exiting unprofitable counties. While this might temper headline enrollment growth in the short term, analysts are generally forecasting a rebound to a more sustainable 3% to 3.5% margin by 2028. So the thinking is these are temporary adjustments rather than permanent impairments to the MA business model.
Okay, now let's pivot to what our sources highlight as perhaps the most acute near-term challenge, especially for companies with significant government business like Elevance: Medicaid redetermination. This has been a monumental story impacting millions of people.
It has been nothing short of a monumental event, yes. During the public health emergency, states were temporarily prevented from disenrolling Medicaid members, ensuring continuous coverage. That continuous enrollment provision officially ended in 2023, triggering this nationwide unwinding process where states began reviewing eligibility for all Medicaid recipients. And while this has certainly led to a substantial decline in overall Medicaid membership, as individuals were found ineligible or maybe moved to other coverage, the impact extends far beyond just reduced numbers. Here's the truly fascinating and frankly troubling insight. The redetermination process has triggered a significant and adverse shift in the risk profile of the remaining Medicaid population. Studies and industry reports strongly suggest that healthier individuals who are often more mobile, maybe gained employer-sponsored coverage as the economy improved, were disproportionately more likely to be disenrolled during this process. This leaves behind a pool of members with higher acuity, meaning they have more chronic conditions, greater healthcare needs, and consequently much higher medical costs. So, this acuity shift creates a critical mismatch with reimbursement rates. State-level rate-setting processes are inherently backward-looking and, frankly, slow. They've lagged significantly behind this rapid change in the risk profile of the covered population. As a direct result, payers like Elevance Health are receiving premiums that are simply insufficient to cover the medical costs of this sicker remaining membership base. This phenomenon is a primary driver of the elevated MLRs and the negative earnings revisions we've seen across the managed care sector. And it directly explains the intense pressure Elevance Health is currently experiencing in its Medicaid business. For investors, the key variable to watch is really the duration of this rate-setting lag and how quickly states will adjust their rates to match this new, higher acuity reality. Right, and finally, we really can't discuss the managed care industry without acknowledging the pervasive influence of the regulatory environment and the inherent political risk. This is a permanent and often unpredictable feature of the landscape they operate in. The industry operates under this complex and constantly evolving framework of federal and state laws that govern virtually every aspect of their operations, from how they design products and set prices to managing provider networks and processing claims. We're seeing ongoing implementation of the Affordable Care Act and the Inflation Reduction Act, new rules promoting price transparency and data interoperability, and increased scrutiny of practices like prior authorization, which directly affects how they manage care and costs. A significant point of uncertainty looms with the scheduled expiration of enhanced ACA premium tax credits at the end of 2025. That could impact affordability and enrollment in the individual market, potentially shifting more people off those plans. Furthermore, potential legislative actions, maybe proposals to tighten Medicaid eligibility requirements or other budget-driven cuts, could introduce additional headwinds for the government business segment. Given the persistent political focus on healthcare costs in the U.S., the risk of further pressure on government reimbursement rates remains elevated, making it a constant, powerful factor to monitor for any managed care organization.
Phew, okay. That's a really thorough overview of the industry's turbulent waters. So with all that context, let's bring it back to Elevance itself. How are they strategically positioning themselves within this tumultuous environment? What's their strategic counterpunch, if you will, to navigate these headwinds and hopefully emerge stronger?
Yeah, they've got a very deliberate and ambitious strategic game plan. Elevance Health has been actively transforming itself from what was traditionally seen as just a health insurer into a much more diversified, integrated health solutions company. Their entire business model is now built upon what they call an enterprise flywheel. This concept involves two complementary segments designed to leverage their immense scale to both improve health outcomes and manage costs synergistically. It's a fundamental shift in how they view their role in the broader healthcare ecosystem. And to understand this, we really need to look at their two primary segments, because their recent performance tells a very divergent story. First, you have health benefits. This is their foundational insurance business, providing a comprehensive suite of medical, pharmacy, and ancillary benefit plans to a diverse customers, commercial employer groups, individuals, Medicare, Medicaid. As of the second quarter of 2025, this segment served roughly 45.6 million medical members and generated a substantial $41.6 billion in operating revenue. Huge numbers. But while it remains the primary driver of the company's total revenue, it's also the segment most exposed to those rising medical costs we just discussed, and it's currently experiencing significant margin compression. This is where the headwinds are most keenly felt. Now, in stark contrast, we have Carelon. This is their high-growth, high-margin health services arm, and it's a critical piece of their transformation strategy. Carelon itself is broken down into two key components. First, Carelon Arx, which is the company's in-house pharmacy benefit manager, or PBM. This has been a source of really strong growth, driven by successfully bringing on new external clients and expanding its specialty pharmacy offerings. And then there's Carelon Services, which provides a broad array of specialized healthcare services. This includes things like complex and chronic care management, behavioral health solutions, and promoting value-based care delivery models. This segment is scaling rapidly through both organic initiatives and strategic smaller acquisitions, like their home health venture, CareBridge. And the performance contrast is quite striking. It really highlights the strategic importance of Carelon. In the second quarter of 2025, the Carelon segment generated $18.1 billion in revenue, with a remarkable 36% year-over-year increase. Even more importantly, its operating gain grew by a robust 25% to $12.9 billion. This strong performance clearly underscores Carelon's role as the primary engine of growth and profitability for the entire enterprise, acting as a crucial offset to the challenges in the health benefits segment. So, to tie this back to that enterprise flywheel concept, the health benefits segment provides the massive and stable membership base a huge captive audience, if you will. Carelon then leverages this audience to sell its higher margin services like pharmacy management and complex care solutions internally. In turn, the effective deployment of Carelon services helps to better manage medical costs and improve health outcomes for the members in the health benefits segment, which should theoretically improve the MLR and strengthen the core insurance business over the long term. This integrated model is a key strategic differentiator from less integrated peers, and it's clearly designed to emulate the highly successful synergy seen in companies like United Health Group and its Optum segment, which has proven to be a highly effective and highly valued model in the healthcare industry.
Okay, so Carelon is clearly positioned as a major growth engine. And it sounds like this isn't just some regional player trying to become national. Elevance already has a massive geographic footprint, right?
Oh, indeed. Elevance Health is already one of the largest and most prominent health insurers in the nation. Its affiliated companies serve over 109 million consumers through a diverse portfolio of solutions across various markets. And as we touched on earlier, a cornerstone of its market presence is that exclusive license to operate under the Blue Cross Blue Shield brand in 14 states. This is a powerful and unique competitive asset. The BCBS brand is one of the most recognized and trusted names in American healthcare, conferring significant competitive advantages in marketing, member retention, and pricing power within those specific geographies. It's built in trust and brand equity. And the company isn't standing still. It's actively pursuing geographic expansion, with plans to enter new markets in Florida, Maryland, and Texas in 2025 under its Simply Healthcare and WellPoint brands. So they're demonstrating an ongoing commitment to expanding their reach. Their overarching strategy, the buzzword they use, is delivering whole health. This signifies a move beyond just processing traditional medical claims. It's about addressing the physical, behavioral, and importantly, social determinants of an individual's health. And they execute this strategy through a deliberate push into vertical integration and the direct provision of care, primarily housed within that Carelon Services segment. Think about key acquisitions they've made, like the purchase of specialty pharmacy BioPlus and home health provider CareBridge. These are prime examples of this strategy in action. By owning these assets, Elevance gains greater control over the cost and quality of care in high-spend areas, effectively bringing more of the healthcare value chain under its own roof. They're also aggressively expanding their value-based care arrangements with providers. In these models, provider compensation is tied to quality and cost efficiency rather than just the sheer volume of services performed. As of mid-2025, over one-third of the company's total benefit expense was channeled through arrangements that include downside financial risk for providers. This demonstrates a significant, tangible commitment to aligning incentives across the healthcare ecosystem to control costs and improve outcomes. And finally, technology and digital capabilities are viewed as a core pillar of Elevance Health's strategy. They see it as essential for both improving operational efficiency and enhancing the member experience. Management has emphasized significant investments in artificial intelligence, or AI, and advanced data analytics. These technologies are being deployed through platforms like HealthOS to achieve several key objectives. Streamlining the historically burdensome prior authorization process, reducing administrative costs, and more effectively identifying and combating fraud, waste, and abuse within the healthcare system, a huge cost driver. On the consumer-facing side, digital tools like the Sydney Health mobile application are designed to improve member engagement, provide personalized health insights, and guide individuals toward high-quality, cost-effective care options. Now, while all major peers are pursuing similar technological advancements, Elevance Health's ability to deploy these tools across its vast integrated platform, spanning both the health benefits and Carelon segments, could be a source of durable competitive advantage. The fact that they saw that 140 basis point year-over-year improvement in their adjusted operating expense ratio in the second quarter of 2025, even in its strong revenue growth, offers some early evidence of the potential for this technology-driven operating leverage to really impact the bottom line.
Okay, so we've covered their strategy for navigating these challenging times, but how do they actually stack up against the competition? Because this is a fiercely competitive arena, as you said, with other massive players.
It truly is. The U.S. health insurance industry is highly concentrated and intensely competitive, where scale and market density are just critical determinants of success. Elevance Health is firmly entrenched as the second largest health insurer by overall market share, trailing only the industry behemoth, United Health Group. So they're a major player, but, you know, not the undisputed leader across the board. A more nuanced look at market share across different business lines tells a more detailed story. In the national commercial market, which includes employer-sponsored and individual plans, Elevance holds a strong number two position with about a 12% share. This places it just behind United Health Group's 14% and slightly ahead of CVS Aetna at 11% and Cigna at 10%. So it's very competitive at the top, with a few large players dominating that space. In the Medicare Advantage market, though, it's a bit different. This market is much more concentrated at the very top, really dominated by United Health Group with a commanding 29% share and Humana with 18%. Elevance ranks fifth here with about a 6% market share. Now, this is kind of a dual-edged sword.
It means less scale and pricing power relative to those leaders in MA.
but it also provides a substantial runway for future market share gains, particularly as the company focuses more on profitable growth in this segment rather than just growth at any cost. And finally, in the public exchange, or ACA market, Elevance holds the sixth position with about a 4% national market share in a segment led by Centene with a 14% share. So this shows they are diversified across lines, but they aren't the leader in every single segment.
Right. So given that competitive landscape, what are their durable advantages? What truly protects them in this market against those formidable rivals? These are what we often call moats, right? Those protective barriers.
Yeah. Precisely. And Elevance Health's competitive position is definitely fortified by several durable advantages, or moats, that make it difficult for competitors to encroach on their territory. First, there's just scale and network effects. With over 45 million medical members, Elevance possesses immense scale. This allows them to negotiate highly favorable reimbursement rates with healthcare providers, hospitals, and physician groups, which creates a significant cost advantage that is exceedingly difficult for smaller competitors to replicate. And for members and employers, the sheer breadth and depth of the company's provider network is a primary factor when choosing a plan. This creates a kind of virtuous cycle where a large member base attracts a broad network, which in turn attracts even more members. It's a self-reinforcing advantage. Second, and this is a particularly powerful and unique competitive moat, is their exclusive BCBS brand license. We mentioned this earlier, but it really cannot be overstated. Holding the exclusive license to market products under the Blue Cross Blue Shield brand in those 14 states confers significant competitive advantages in marketing, member retention, and pricing power within those specific geographies, simply due to the brand recognition and deeply established consumer trust that comes with the BCBS name. It's a localized but very powerful advantage. And third, the integrated business model with Carelon. The strategic development of the Carelon Health Services segment is a key differentiating factor. This integrated model, combining a massive insurance arm with a rapidly growing pharmacy benefit manager and direct care delivery businesses, allows Elevance to compete more effectively with the industry's most successful integrated player, United Health Group, and its Optum segment. It provides a pathway to manage costs more effectively and offer a more comprehensive suite of products than pure-play insurance competitors can, which is crucial for long-term viability in this evolving market. Now, the current inflationary environment is a critical test of Elevance's pricing power. Management has explicitly stated a focus on disciplined pricing across all business lines to ensure that premiums are set at a level sufficient to cover rising medical cost trends. The company's ability to implement these necessary rate increases without suffering significant membership losses will be a key indicator of its competitive strength and the perceived value proposition of its products. That reported membership decline of 212,000 in the second quarter of 2025, as we noted, was primarily attributed to the mandated Medicaid redetermination process and some attrition in the ACA market. It illustrates the challenges of retaining members in a volatile environment, even with their strong moats. Elevance's core differentiation strategy really revolves around its whole health approach, which is operationalized through its integrated business model, with Carelon as the primary vehicle. By moving beyond the role of a traditional insurance company that simply pays claims, Elevance aims to become a comprehensive health solutions partner that actively manages the full spectrum of its members' health needs, physical, behavioral, social. This strategy is not only designed to improve health outcomes, but also to create a more integrated and sticky relationship with customers, making them less likely to switch plans just based on price. This strategic pivot is also a direct and necessary competitive response to United Health Group, whose Optum-driven integrated strategy has been so richly rewarded by the market. And a central component of the bull thesis for Elevance Health really rests on the belief that as Carelon continues to scale and demonstrate its value, the market will eventually recognize this and re-rate Elevance's stock to reflect the higher multiples typically associated with health services businesses, unlocking significant shareholder value that isn't fully reflected in the price today.
Okay, this all leads inevitably to the bottom line, doesn't it? Let's dive into the financial performance because the numbers really tell the story of these competing forces we've been talking about.
They absolutely do. And when we examine Elevance Health's multi-year financial and operational summary, we observe a company that has generally delivered pretty consistent top-line growth. Total operating revenue, for instance, expanded from about $156.6 billion in fiscal year 2022 to $189.25 billion in the last 12 months as of Q2 2025. This growth actually accelerated significantly in the second quarter of 2025, surging 14.3% year over year. Now, importantly, this wasn't primarily driven by membership growth, but by higher premium yields resulting from pricing actions, that robust growth in Carelon, and contributions from recent acquisitions. It demonstrates their ability to drive revenue even in a tough environment. Operating income has also shown a general increasing trend, moving from roughly $7.7 billion in fiscal year 2022 to $8.7 billion in the last 12 months, ending Q2 2025. However, we do observe a recent slight decline in net income and diluted EPS. Net income, for instance, went from about $6.1 billion in FY 2022 to $5.4 billion in LTM Q2 2025, and diluted EPS from $24.73 down to $23.39 over the same periods. So pressure there. Medical membership has also seen a slight overall decline, from 47.5 million in FY 2022 down to 45.6 million in Q2 2025. This modest attrition is almost entirely attributable to that Medicaid redetermination process, although it is impartially offset by growth in Medicare Advantage and commercial risk-based businesses. So a bit of a mixed picture on membership trends. Now, profitability. This is where the company faces its most significant current challenge, and that medical loss ratio, the MLR, is the most critical metric to watch here. After remaining pretty stable at 87.0% in both 2022 and 2023, the MLR has come under severe pressure. In the second quarter of 2025, the MLR spiked to 88.9%. That's a substantial 260 basis point increase compared to the same period just the year before. Management has directly attributed this deterioration to higher than expected medical cost trends stemming from that increased acuity, that sicker mix of the Medicaid and ACA populations post-redetermination. This sharp, rapid rise in the MLR is the fundamental reason behind the company's downward revision of its full year 2025 earnings guidance. It's the core financial challenge they're grappling with right now. But in stark contrast to the MLR trend, the company has shown really exceptional discipline in managing its administrative costs. The adjusted operating expense ratio has steadily improved, actually falling by 140 basis points year over year to just 10.0% in Q2 2025. This highlights successful cost control initiatives and the positive operating leverage generated from strong revenue growth. So the crucial story here is that internal efficiencies are being impressively managed, but they're currently being overwhelmed by powerful external pressures on medical costs. The long-term investment thesis for Elevance Health hinges entirely on its ability to eventually bring that MLR back under control through a combination of disciplined repricing, the cost management capabilities of its Carelon segment, and an eventual stabilization of the risk pools in its government businesses. That's the key financial battle. Right, but despite the pressures on net income, Elevance Health continues to be a formidable cash-generating enterprise. And this is a significant point of strength that sometimes gets overlooked amidst all the MLR discussions.
Year-to-date operating cash flow as of the end of the second quarter of 2025 was a robust $3.1 billion. That actually represents a $6 million increase over the same period in the prior year. For the full year 2025, management has guided to approximately $6.0 billion in operating cash flow. Now, while this figure was revised downward to reflect the lower earnings outlook, it still represents substantial, consistent cash generation. The company's free cash flow yield stands at an attractive level of over 8%. This indicates that it generates a significant amount of cash relative to its market capitalization, which provides ample flexibility for capital allocation, even in a challenging operating environment. This cash flow is what fuels their strategic moves and shareholder returns.
Okay, so despite these pretty significant near-term headwinds in the core business, where does Elevance Health see its growth coming from in the future? What's the path forward to reignite that earnings power they're aiming for?
Well, Elevance Health has a multi-pronged growth strategy designed to drive long-term value creation, even amidst the current challenges. First, let's just quickly revisit Medicare Advantage growth. The MA market remains a significant long-term growth vector for the company, purely due to that demographic tailwind of an aging U.S. population. That ensures sustained demand for these plans for years to come. Elevance's current market share of approximately 6% positions it as a smaller player compared to industry leaders like United Health Group and Humana. But, as we said, this actually provides a long runway for growth. As the market rationalizes and maybe smaller, less profitable plans potentially exit, Elevance has a real opportunity to capture market share by leveraging its strong brand, broad provider networks, and its integrated care model. Then there are the Medicaid opportunities. Yes, while we've discussed Medicaid as the primary source of current margin pressure due to that redetermination-driven acuity shift, it remains a fundamentally attractive business over the long term for managed care organizations. State governments continue to rely heavily on MCOs for cost control and managing care for their complex Medicaid populations. Elevance's deep experience and established presence in this market position it well to compete for and win new state contracts and potentially expand its services into new geographies. The key to unlocking this growth potential, however, lies in achieving appropriate rate alignment with estate partners getting paid correctly to reflect the true current cost of care for the covered population. That rate adjustment is absolutely critical for future Medicaid profitability.
Right. And as we've discussed quite a bit, Carelon seems unequivocally the centerpiece of Elevance Health's growth narrative. How much more can it realistically grow, and what's the ambition there for management?
Yeah, Carelon is absolutely designed to transform Elevance from being seen as a traditional insurance underwriter into a diversified health solutions company, with a corresponding positive impact on its growth profile and, crucially, its valuation multiple in the market. Carelon's performance has been exceptionally strong, acting as that powerful offset to the challenges in the health benefits segment. In the second quarter of 2025, remember, Carelon's revenues surged by a remarkable 36% year over year. Management has laid out a pretty ambitious long-term plan for the segment. They're targeting a mid-teens compound annual growth rate, or CAGR, for revenue through 2027, coupled with an expansion of operating margins into the 5.5% to 6.5% range. That's a significant target. This growth is expected to come from two primary sources. First, deepening the penetration of Carelon services within Elevance's own massive 45 million member base, basically, serving their existing customers with more services. And second, aggressively growing its roster of external third-party clients, expanding its market reach beyond just its own membership. The successful scaling of Carelon is paramount. It not only provides a high-growth revenue stream, but also directly enhances the company's ability to manage medical costs for the core insurance business, reinforcing that whole enterprise flywheel concept we talked about. Their acquisition strategy is also a core component of their growth, particularly focused on building out the capabilities of the Carelon platform. Elevance has a demonstrated track record of using M&A to enter new service areas and acquire new technologies. Recent examples include CareBridge, that provider of home and community-based care solutions, and BioPlus, a specialty pharmacy. These deals are highly strategic because they vertically integrate key components of the care continuum, giving Elevance greater control over cost and quality in high-spend categories. The company's ability to successfully identify, execute, and importantly integrate these types of acquisitions will be a key determinant of its ability to accelerate the growth of Carelon and truly deliver on its integrated strategy promise. Integration is never easy. And finally, technology and innovation. Elevance is making significant investments here, viewing them not just as tools for cost savings, but as fundamental drivers of growth and differentiation. The deployment of artificial intelligence and advanced data analytics is central to this effort. These technologies are being used to create more personalized care plans for members, provide actionable insights to providers right at the point of care, and streamline those administrative processes we mentioned. By improving health outcomes and creating a more seamless healthcare experience, these technological investments are designed to create, you know, stickier relationships with both members and providers. Furthermore, these advanced data capabilities are absolutely essential for the successful scaling of value-based care models, which represent a key long-term opportunity for both growth and margin expansion across the entire industry.
Okay, so beyond operations and growth, how does Elevance manage its money? What about returning value to you, the shareholder, especially in a time of pressure on the core business?
Right, this is always key. Elevance Health adheres to a very balanced and disciplined capital allocation framework. They've designed it to fund organic growth, pursue those strategic acquisitions we just talked about, and consistently return a significant amount of capital to shareholders. Their strong cash flow generation and that investment-grade balance sheet provide substantial flexibility to execute this strategy, even amidst the current operating challenges. If we look at their capital deployment, in FY 2022, they had over $8.2 billion in net cash from operations. That figure was approximately $3.1 billion year-to-date as of Q2 2025, showing continued strong generation despite the headwinds. While they certainly engage in capital expenditures to invest in their business, a significant portion of their cash flow is directed towards M&A, primarily for building out Carelon. For instance, they spent roughly $2.5 billion on acquisitions back in FY 2022, highlighting the importance of this path for growth. Beyond investments, returning capital to shareholders is a definite cornerstone. In FY 2024, they spent about $4.4 billion on share repurchases and another $1.5 billion on dividends, totaling almost $6 billion in capital return that year. Notably, their payout ratio actually exceeded 100% in 2024, reflecting a year of somewhat lower operating cash flow, but a continued strong commitment to these returns, even if it meant dipping into reserves slightly. That shows commitment. Returning capital to shareholders is clearly a consistent commitment for Elevance. Their share repurchase program is active and quite substantial. In the second quarter of 2025 alone, Elevance bought back $379 million of its common stock, and year-to-date through Q2, repurchases totaled $1.26 billion. And as of June 30, 2025, the company still had a formidable $8.0 billion remaining on its board-approved share repurchase authorization. This signals a strong and ongoing commitment to reducing its share count and boosting earnings per share for investors, acting as a direct lever on shareholder value. In terms of dividends, Elevance has a long and reliable history of paying and growing its dividend.
They've increased their dividend for 14 consecutive years, which is a pretty strong testament to the long-term confidence management has in its cash-generating capabilities and its ability to consistently reward shareholders. The current quarterly dividend is $1.71 per share, which translates to a dividend yield of roughly 2.4%, offering a steady income stream for those focused on that. Regarding debt and financial leverage, Elevance Health maintains a strong and stable financial position, underscored by its investment-grade credit ratings. S&P Global Ratings assigns the company an A, long-term issuer credit rating, while Moody's Investors Service assigns a Ba2 rating, solid ratings. It's worth noting that back in March 2024, S&P did revise its outlook on the company to negative from stable. But they explicitly attributed this primarily to the implementation of a revised capital model methodology by S&P, rather than the fundamental deterioration of the company's own credit profile. That's an important distinction. Management prudently manages its financial leverage, targeting a debt-to-capital ratio in the range of 40%.
This is generally considered appropriate for the industry and provides the company with ample financial flexibility to pursue its strategic objectives without taking on excessive balance sheet risk. Their management's capital allocation philosophy is really clear and hierarchical. It provides a roadmap for how they deploy capital. The first priority is always to fund organic growth, with a particular emphasis on investments in technology, digital capabilities, and the expansion of the Carelon platform. Following organic investment, the company seeks to deploy capital towards value-accretive mergers and acquisitions, again, with a strong focus on acquiring assets that enhance and accelerate the Carelon strategy. Finally, all excess free cash flow is consistently returned to shareholders through that combination of dividends and share repurchases. This balanced approach is designed to support management's stated long-term financial goal of achieving at least 12% average annual growth in adjusted diluted EPS.
Okay, but every investment, no matter how strong the company looks on paper, comes with risks. So what are the significant headwinds, the potential pitfalls that Elevance Health faces that you really need to be aware of? What could potentially derail this strategy?
Yeah, this is a critical section, absolutely, because understanding the potential pitfalls is just as important as understanding the strengths. The first and arguably most pervasive and unpredictable set of risks comes from regulatory and political factors. This industry is just heavily regulated and constantly subject to political whims and changes. Within this broad category, reimbursement risk is paramount. The profitability of Elevance's substantial government business, Medicare and Medicaid, is directly dependent on payment rates set by federal and state governments. These rates are inherently subject to political and budgetary pressures and could potentially be set at levels that are insufficient to cover the underlying medical costs of the covered population, which would severely impact margins. This is a constant uncertainty they have to navigate. Then there's the issue of the CMS star ratings for Medicare Advantage plans. A significant portion of MA revenue is tied directly to this program, which provides quality-based bonus payments. The challenge is the criteria for these ratings are constantly changing, making it increasingly difficult for plans to achieve and maintain high scores.
As evidenced by a decline in the percentage of its members in four-star or higher plans for 2025, a lower rating directly reduces revenue and can negatively impact a plan's marketability and future enrollment. This is a material and immediate headwind for Elevance that directly impacts their MA revenue stream. And we absolutely can't ignore broader policy and legislative changes. The U.S. healthcare landscape is in a constant state of political debate and regulatory flux. Potential changes to the Affordable Care Act, modifications to Medicare risk adjustment models, new regulations governing pharmacy benefit managers, or other unforeseen legislative actions could fundamentally alter the operating environment and adversely affect the company's business model and financial results. A key uncertainty to watch, as we mentioned, is the scheduled expiration of enhanced ACA premium tax credits at the end of 2025, which could significantly impact affordability for individual market participants and potentially enrollment levels. Next up are the medical cost and MLR pressures, which we've discussed at length as really the core operational risk for any health insurer. Prediction and pricing inaccuracy can have a severe and immediate impact on profitability, as demonstrated by that recent earnings guidance revision. Premiums are set months in advance based on forecasts. If actual costs come in higher than projected, the losses cannot be recovered in the current contract year. This means any miscalculation hits the bottom line hard and fast. Beyond just predicting wrong, there's medical inflation.
sustained inflation in the cost of medical services, pharmaceuticals, and labor that outpaces the company's ability to increase premiums will lead to ongoing margin compression, creating a persistent drag on earnings. And of course, you always have the risk of unpredictable public health crises, like pandemics, which can cause significant surges in healthcare utilization and costs, completely disrupting financial projections and operations in ways that are hard to foresee. The competitive landscape also presents significant risks. The managed care industry is intensely competitive on both a national and local level. Elevance competes head-to-head with other large, well-capitalized national players like United Health Group, Humana, and Cigna, as well as numerous strong regional and not-for-profit health plans. Competition is fierce across price, product offerings, provider network access, and brand recognition. Aggressive actions by competitors could certainly lead to pricing pressure and a loss of market share, directly impacting their top-line growth. Adding to this competitive pressure is the ongoing trend of provider consolidation. The consolidation among hospitals and physician groups gives these providers greater negotiating leverage when contracting with insurers. This can make it more difficult for Elevance to secure favorable reimbursement rates, potentially driving up its medical costs and further squeezing those already pressured margins. And finally, we have technology and operational risks. As a custodian of vast quantities of sensitive personal health and financial information, Elevance is a prime target for sophisticated cybersecurity threats. A significant data breach could result in massive regulatory fines, extensive litigation, severe reputational damage, and crucially, a loss of customer trust, which is hard to win back. Then, the company's growth strategy, as we've seen, is heavily reliant on successfully integrating its acquisitions, particularly within the Carelon segment. This introduces M&A integration risk. A failure to realize expected synergies or a problematic integration of a newly acquired company could impair the value of the transaction and disrupt operations, potentially slowing down their strategic pivot. And finally, economic sensitivity. A significant economic downturn leading to widespread job losses would likely result in a decline in enrollment in the company's more profitable commercial insurance segment as individuals lose employer-sponsored coverage. This could create an unfavorable mix shift towards lower-margin government plans, hitting their overall profitability from yet another angle.
Okay, wow. So given all these complexities and these significant risks, who's actually steering this massive ship through these very turbulent waters? The quality of leadership is always such a critical factor for investors to consider.
It absolutely is. Let's start with their chief executive officer, Gail K. Boudreaux. She is a highly respected and very experienced leader in the healthcare industry, having served as president and CEO of Elevance Health since 2017. Our sources generally credit her strategic vision as the driving force behind the company's transformation towards that whole health model and the significant investment in and expansion of the Carelon Services platform. She's navigating the enterprise through a truly dynamic and challenging operating environment, which requires immense experience and steady hands. The broader senior executive team also possesses deep and varied experience across the key facets of the managed care and health services industries, including government programs, commercial benefits, pharmacy services, the whole gamut. This depth of expertise is crucial for managing such a complex and diversified enterprise like Elevance, especially when faced with multiple simultaneous headwinds like they are now. Now, in terms of communication and guidance, the management team's credibility has, frankly, been tested by the recent downward revisions to its 2025 earnings guidance. That always puts management under scrutiny. In their communications, executives have framed this revision as, disappointing, but a necessary step to provide investors with clear visibility into the current challenges and to reset expectations based on prevailing conditions rather than just hopes for a near-term recovery. The market will definitely be closely watching the company's ability to meet this revised guidance and the transparency of its future communications moving forward. Regaining full investor trust after a guidance cut is always paramount. Regarding corporate governance, Elevance Health appears to have implemented a strong corporate governance framework that generally aligns with best practices and promotes shareholder interests. The company's board of directors is composed of highly qualified individuals with a diverse range of relevant skills, including experience in healthcare, finance, technology, and public policy. The board is notably diverse, with 8 of its 11 directors being diverse based on gender and/or ethnicity, and maintains a high degree of independence, with 10 of the 11 directors qualifying as independent under NYSE and SEC rules. This reflects strong oversight and a diverse perspective at the highest level. Elevance also maintains a separate CEO and an independent board chair, a structure that is widely considered a governance best practice as it enhances board oversight and separates strategic execution from board supervision. Following the retirement of the current chair, Elizabeth Tallon,
Mr. Ramiro Peru, who is a long-serving independent director, is set to assume the role of independent chair. This ensures a clear separation of powers and continuity in governance structure. And finally, the company has several policies in place to ensure shareholder alignment. Executive compensation programs include a significant equity component, tying a large portion of executive pay directly to the company's stock performance over the long term. Furthermore, robust stock ownership guidelines are in place for both executive officers and directors, requiring them to hold a significant amount of company stock, aligning their interests with shareholders. They also have other positive governance features, including a robust clawback policy that allows them to recoup incentive compensation in certain circumstances, majority voting for uncontested director elections, and proxy access for shareholders, all designed to protect and align with shareholder interests. Seems pretty standard good practice there.
Okay, so all of this then leads us to the ultimate question for an investor. What's it truly worth? Is the market missing something here, or is the current valuation an accurate reflection of its considerable challenges?
Yeah, this is the absolute heart of the investment debate for Elevance Health right now. Does the current stock price reflect a temporary dislocation, which would be the bull case, suggesting it's undervalued, or does it reflect a more permanent impairment of its earnings power, as the bear case suggests, meaning it's perhaps fairly valued or even still overvalued despite the drop? Right now, the stock trades at multiples that strongly suggest significant market pessimism on its near-term earnings outlook. The market is definitely pricing in the headwinds. Let's look at some comparative valuation multiples. If we compare Elevance to its direct peers like UnitedHealth, Humana, Cigna, and CVS Health, the data clearly illustrates that Elevance Health trades at a notable discount to the peer average. It trades at a particularly steep discount to UnitedHealth Group, the market leader, on forward-looking earnings and EBITDA multiples. For instance, its forward price to earnings, or PE ratio, is hovering around 8.7x. Now, this is well below its own historical range and strongly suggests that the market is pricing in a high degree of uncertainty and risk related to its near-term profitability. It indicates a cautious, if not outright bearish, sentiment baked into the current share price. To try and get to what a company is truly worth, beyond just market sentiment, we often use a discounted cash flow, or DCF analysis framework. This provides a measure of a company's intrinsic value based on its ability to generate cash over time, rather than just current earnings multiples. A DCF valuation for Elevance Health would involve projecting the company's unlevered free cash flow for maybe 5 to 10 years into the future. Key assumptions for such a model would include things like, for revenue growth, projections would likely factor in a period of mid-single-digit growth initially, reflecting those near-term membership pressures and pricing actions we discussed, followed by an acceleration towards the company's long-term targets as Carelon scales and market conditions hopefully normalize. For operating margins, the model would absolutely have to factor in near-term compression consistent with that elevated medical loss ratio, followed by a gradual recovery toward historical norms over the forecast period. This recovery would be driven by that combined effect of disciplined repricing, the cost management capabilities of Carelon, and eventual stabilization of the risk pools in its government businesses. That's the crucial margin assumption. The discount rate, or weighted average cost of capital, WACC, would likely be in the mid to high single digits, reflecting Elevance's relatively low stock volatility. It has a beta of approximately 0.61, which is quite low. And finally, the terminal value, which captures the value of the company's cash flows beyond the explicit forecast period, would be calculated using a conservative perpetual growth rate, typically in the range of long-term GDP growth, maybe 2.0% to 2.5%. Ultimately, any good DCF analysis would include sensitivity tables to demonstrate how the calculated intrinsic value per share changes based on different assumptions for the discount rate and the terminal growth rate. This provides a range of potential valuations, acknowledging the uncertainty in those long-term forecasts.
Okay, now this next valuation method, the sum of the parts, or SOTP, seems particularly interesting given the two very different parts of Elevance we've talked about, the legacy insurance and the growing Carelon services. So if I'm understanding this right, the argument is the market is essentially looking at Elevance Health, seeing primarily an insurance company, and maybe missing or at least undervaluing this whole rapidly growing health services business looking underneath. Is it kind of like valuing a house just by looking at its old foundation, ignoring the big modern extension and all the smart home tech that's been built in?
That's a great analogy, actually. Precisely. The potential takeaway here is that investors might be suffering from a kind of legacy bias, treating Elevance primarily like a traditional insurer when its strategic transformation, especially with Carelon, increasingly positions it closer to deserving a health services multiple, which is a fundamentally different and usually higher
valuation story. This SOTP analysis is therefore a particularly relevant and potentially powerful analytical tool for Elevance Health, given the very divergent growth and profitability profiles of its two main business segments, health benefits and Carelon. This methodology avoids valuing the entire company with a single, blended, lower multiple, and instead values each segment individually based on its own merits before summing them up. The methodology itself is pretty straightforward. First, you value the health benefits segment. This is the more mature, lower growth, traditional insurance business. You'd value it using multiples appropriate for its peer group, perhaps a price to earnings or enterprise value to EBIT multiple in the range of other large, stable health insurers. Second, you value the Carelon segment. This is the higher growth, higher margin health services business. This segment would be valued using more aggressive multiples in line with its distinct peer group, which includes pharmacy benefit managers and other health services companies. An enterprise value to EBITDA, or maybe even enterprise value to sales multiple, likely benchmarked against a company like United Health Group's highly valued Optum segment, would be applied to Carelon's projected financials, reflecting its much higher growth profile. And finally, you aggregate and adjust. The calculated enterprise values of the two segments are simply summed together. From this total, any unallocated corporate costs would be subtracted, and an adjustment for the company's net debt or cash would be made to arrive at a total implied equity value. Dividing this by the number of shares outstanding would yield an SOTP-based intrinsic value per share. Now, this SOTP analysis is highly likely to produce a valuation that is significantly above the current market price.
The core rationale is that the market currently appears to be applying a single lower insurance company multiple to the entire enterprise, thereby failing to properly recognize the substantial and rapidly growing value of the Carelon Services business. The SOTP framework explicitly unpacks and quantifies this potential hidden value, and for many analysts and bulls, it's the key to understanding the potential long-term upside in Elevance stock.
Right. And finally, let's just touch on the analyst consensus. The Wall Street analyst community, despite acknowledging all the near-term challenges we've discussed, remains broadly constructive on Elevance Health's long-term prospects. Even after a series of downward revisions following that Q2 2025 earnings report, the consensus 12-month price target for the stock remains in a range of approximately $360 to $409 per share. That represents potentially significant upside from its current trading level.
The overall consensus rating from analysts is generally a moderate buy or strong buy, indicating a prevailing belief among the analyst community that the current operational headwinds are indeed temporary and that the stock is attractively valued relative to its long-term growth potential, particularly factoring in Carelon. They seem to broadly agree with that hidden value argument from the SOTP perspective.
Okay, that was truly a deep dive into Elevance Health, and wow, what a complex, really layered picture it paints. We've seen a company with immense foundational strengths navigating some very serious industry-wide pressures.
It's a classic case study, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
The tug of war between the near-term profitability challenges, particularly in its core health benefits segment, and the impressive high growth potential of Carelon is absolutely the core narrative here. The market is clearly weighing those pressures heavily right now, leading to a valuation that seems to be at a significant discount compared to its peers, especially UNH.
But, as we discussed, there's definitely a compelling argument that the market might be underestimating that long-term earnings power, especially if Carelon continues on its current trajectory, and critically, those Medicaid rates eventually align with the new reality of member acuity. It raises an important question for you, our listener, to consider. In the world of these healthcare giants, how much weight should really be given to temporary, albeit significant, headwinds versus a long-term strategic transformation that could fundamentally change the company's earning profile and maybe even its identity over time?
And remember, truly understanding these two opposing viewpoints, not just for Elevance Health, but really for any complex issue or investment, is absolutely key to being well-informed and making your own assessments about the future probabilities.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive today. Until next time, keep digging for those nuggets of knowledge.